Well, if you'll please take your Bibles at this time and turn to the Old Testament book of Psalms. We're in Psalm 72 this morning. Psalm 72. Today is Global Mission Sunday, and as we mentioned earlier, churches all around the world are focusing on missions and singing variations of that wonderful hymn that we sang earlier in the service, Jesus Shall Reign. You know, last week we talked about praying for missions, praying for God to send more workers into the world for missions. Today we're looking at the flip side of that, really the end game of all of that. Why do we send missionaries into all the world? Is because Jesus will reign over all the world. And that's what this psalm is about today. It's a fairly long psalm. It's 20 verses, and we will be looking at all of the verses during the message. And so for right now, just as we get started, we'll just look at verses 5 through 7 as we begin. So in Psalm 72, verses 5 through 7, please stand with me now for the reading of God's word. He will endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. He will be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days the righteous will flourish. Prosperity will abound until the moon is no more. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Father God, as we look now at the worldwide reign of Jesus Christ, prophesied in this psalm, Lord, I pray that you would draw our hearts ever closer to you and to your Son. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So we're in Psalm 72 this morning, and this psalm is an amazing psalm in so many ways. It is a royal psalm because it has to do with the king. It is a prophetic psalm because it has to do with the future. And as we shall see, it is also a messianic psalm because it has to do with Jesus as the Messiah. You may have noticed when reading through the whole book of Psalms, when you're reading through Psalms 1 through 150, you may have noticed that the whole book of Psalms is actually divided into five smaller books. Have you ever noticed that? That there are five individual books of Psalms within the whole book of Psalms. And Psalm 72 is the last psalm in the second collection or second book of Psalms. It's a book which stretches from Psalm 42 to Psalm 72. And the inscription of Psalm 72 says that it is a psalm of Solomon. Not all of the psalms have inscriptions, but this one does. And that means it is either a psalm that was written by Solomon, or it could even mean a psalm that was written about Solomon. Most likely, it is a psalm that was written by Solomon as he prays for God's blessing upon himself, upon his own reign as king. However, as we've already mentioned, this is also a messianic psalm. It's a psalm which looks forward to Jesus, and it looks forward to Jesus' future reign over all the earth. If I was going to summarize the whole psalm in one sentence, it would simply be this: Jesus will reign, so rejoice. Jesus will reign, so rejoice. And of course, there's a lot more to it than just that. We've got 20 verses to go through, right? And so we're going to break the psalm down into five sections this morning. There's an outline in your bulletin, if you'd like to take that out to follow along or jot down notes. But you'll see the five sections listed there. Jesus will reign in justice. Jesus will reign forever. Jesus will reign over all the nations. Jesus' reign will help the weak and the needy. Jesus' reign will be blessed and a blessing. And so these are the five sections of the psalm. Let's begin now with the first section in verses 1 through 4. Jesus will reign in justice. So beginning at verse 1 now, Solomon is praying here. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. He will judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. The mountains will bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. He will defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. He will crush the oppressor. So the whole psalm begins with a prayer for God to endow the king with justice. And notice that the king here in verse 1 is called the royal son. We've already seen how on one level this psalm is about Solomon, who was David's royal son. But this phrase, the royal son, this phrase also emphasizes the line of succession that began with King David. And so although the psalm is about Solomon on one level, ultimately it is fulfilled by another royal son, by another son of David, Jesus the Messiah, who stands within the rightful line of kings. And the psalm goes on now to show us three ways that Jesus will reign in justice. It tells us in these opening verses that Jesus shares God's righteousness, that he will judge the people with justice, that he will defend the afflicted and crush the oppressor. First of all, that Jesus shares God's righteousness. Once again, let's go back to that verse and that prayer in verse 1. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. Now, though God may have fulfilled these requests through Solomon on a smaller scale, only Jesus, the Son of God, only Jesus truly shares God's righteousness. We read this about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 in the New Testament, that about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. And here Jesus, as God's Son, is addressed as God himself. He is God. Your throne, O God. Jesus is not only God, he shares God's throne. He shares God's righteousness. Jesus will reign in justice, first of all, because he shares the very righteousness of God. Secondly, Jesus will judge the people with justice. And we see this in verses 2 and 3. He will judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. The mountains will bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. Because Jesus shares God's righteousness, because he shares God's righteousness, he will judge the people with justice. In the New Testament, the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 22 says this, moreover, the Father judges no one, but he has entrusted all judgment to the Son. God the Father has entrusted all judgment to God the Son. Now, there's a reason why God hasn't entrusted all judgment to you or to me. You know what that reason is? Because he doesn't trust us, okay? It's very easy, and he shouldn't trust us to judge the whole world with justice. None of us are qualified to judge the whole world with justice. But the Father has entrusted all judgment to the Son because the Father knows that the Son will judge with perfect justice, righteousness, and fairness. Jesus shares God's righteousness. He will judge the people with justice. And thirdly, he will defend the afflicted and crush the oppressor. That's what we read in verse 4. He will defend the afflicted among the people. He will save the children of the needy. He will crush the oppressor. And so this tells us that the poor and the afflicted will also be judged fairly. And that those who oppress others, that they will be taken to task. It's talking about Jesus. Revelation 11:18 says this about Jesus. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants and for destroying those who destroy the earth, for crushing the oppressors. The poor in this world are too often taken advantage of by the powerful and the wealthy. But Jesus will defend the afflicted. He will crush the oppressor. He will show no partiality to the poor. He will show no favoritism to the great, but he will judge all people fairly. And so that's the first thing that the psalm tells us about Jesus' reign. Jesus will reign in justice. Secondly, Jesus will reign forever. We see this in verses 5 through 7 now. He will endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. He will be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days, the righteous will flourish. Prosperity will abound until the moon is no more. Now, that opening phrase in verse 5 could be translated in one of two ways. Either, as we have it here, he will endure as long as the sun. It could also be translated, they will fear you as long as the sun. But either way, that it describes the same thing, doesn't it? That Jesus' reign will have no end. Whether he will endure as long as the sun or people will fear you as long as the sun, same thing. And it's another early clue in the psalm that this whole psalm points beyond the earthly king. Solomon's reign would end. It points beyond the earthly king to Jesus as Messiah. These verses tell us, first of all, that Jesus will outlast the moon and the sun. Verse 5, he will endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. I like what Charles Spurgeon says about this verse. It says that his kingdom is as lasting as the lights of heaven. Days and nights will cease before he abdicates his throne. Once again, this is talking about Jesus. The book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 15, we read this. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And how unlike all the other kings and kingdoms of the earth, which are here today, gone tomorrow. You know, most kings just try to outlast their competitors, right? Jesus will outlast the sun and the moon. Every morning when you wake up and see the sun rise, every evening when you see the moon grace the night skies, this is a daily reminder to us that Jesus reigns and he will reign forever. Psalm 72 also tells us that Jesus will bring blessing to the righteous in his unending reign. We see this in verses 6 and 7. He will be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days, the righteous will flourish. Prosperity will abound till the moon is no more. And so not only is the king righteous in this psalm, but his people will be righteous also. The righteousness of the king will extend to his people, and he will reign forever with blessing and prosperity for all. Revelation, once again, chapter 7, verse 17, speaks of the blessing that Jesus will bring to his people as ruler and king. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will be their ruler. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Now, this theme of blessing and flourishing and prosperity, this will be developed further on in the closing verses of this psalm. But here it's introduced as part of Jesus' endless reign. And this beautiful and blessed reign will not just be for a season. Earthly kings come and go, but Jesus will reign forever. Jesus will reign in justice. Jesus will reign forever. And then thirdly, Jesus will reign over all the nations. Look at verses 8 through 11 now. He will rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. The desert tribes will bow before him and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of distant shores will bring tribute to him. The kings of Sheba and Seba will present him gifts. All kings will bow down to him and all nations will serve him. And so Jesus will not only rule forever, he will rule everywhere. Verse 8 says he will rule from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. In the Old Testament, there are several places which give us the precise boundaries for the kingdom of Israel. We're given the precise boundaries for the promised land, and then we're told the boundaries of Israel. Sometimes they shrunk as they disobeyed God. Sometimes their boundaries would expand. But here, God extends the boundaries of Jesus' kingdom beyond the boundaries of Israel to include the whole earth. The river here probably refers to the great river Euphrates. But really, what we're saying here is take a river, any river. You can start at any river you like, and you can walk in any direction you want, and you can walk for as far as you want, and you will still be walking in Jesus' territory. Later on, Jesus will tell his disciples, go and make disciples of all the nations. And why all the nations? Because there isn't a square inch of this world that does not belong to Jesus Christ as King. And so this is our missionary call to bring the gospel to all the nations because Jesus will rule from sea to sea. He will rule from sea to sea and his enemies will bow down before him. That's what verse 9 says, right? The desert tribes will bow before him and his enemies will lick the dust. You see, one of the difficulties that earthly kings have in extending their boundaries, right, is that they have enemies. And if you're going to extend your boundaries, you have to subdue your enemies. Jesus doesn't have that problem because all of his enemies will bow before him. 1 Corinthians 15:25 says this about Jesus, he must reign until he has put all of his enemies under his feet. They will bow before him. Not only will Jesus' enemies bow before him, kings will bring tribute to him. That's what we see in verse 10. The kings of Tarshish and of distant shores will bring tribute to him. The kings of Sheba and Seba will present him gifts. Now, the queen of Sheba brought tribute to Solomon, but all kings will bring tribute to Jesus, even those from the most distant lands. Now, this prophecy was partly fulfilled when the Magi came from distant lands at Jesus' birth. They brought their gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh, and they bowed down before him, and they laid their gifts before him. But this psalm tells us one day all the kings of the earth will pay their tribute to Jesus. And we see that also in the New Testament. Revelation 21, verses 24 and 26 says this about the New Jerusalem, that the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. You see, earthly kings sometimes receive tribute from other kings, but Jesus is the King of kings, and all kings will bring tribute to him. And not only that, but all nations will serve him. Verse 11, all kings will bow down to him, all nations will serve him. And the New Testament tells us that this verse will truly be fulfilled in Jesus Christ as King. Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Book of Revelation, chapter 15, verse 4. Who will not fear you, O Lord? Who will not bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Jesus will rule from sea to sea. His enemies will bow before him. Kings will bring tribute to him. Nations will serve him. And that's the third thing the psalm tells us about Jesus' reign. It will be everywhere. Jesus will reign over all the nations. Two more. Next, the psalm tells us how Jesus' reign will help the weak and the needy. Look at verses 12 through 14 with me now. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence. For precious is their blood in his sight. First, Jesus will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. A lot of kings are mostly just interested in their power. But Jesus has a special heart of compassion for those who are hurting. And unlike earthly kings, he never misses a cry for help. This is especially true when it comes to salvation. For when we speak of needy people, we are all in need of salvation. When it comes to salvation and forgiveness of our sins, we are all needy. We are all ones who have no one to help us. No one except Jesus, that is. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so when you recognize your need and when you cry out to Jesus for salvation, he always hears you. And everyone who cries out to him in their need, they will be saved. Psalm 72 also says that Jesus will take pity on the weak. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. And Jesus showed us again and again his pity and his compassion for the weak and the needy. Matthew 11:28, he said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. That offer still stands true today. For those of you who are weary and burdened, come to Christ. He will give you rest. Psalm 72 says that Jesus will rescue them from oppression and violence. Verse 14, he will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Now, the word that's translated rescue there in verse 14, that is a word that means to redeem, to purchase, to buy back. The psalmist here is saying this, Jesus sees every act of violence and oppression that takes place in this world every single day. He sees, he cares, he remembers, and he will rescue and he will redeem. Why? Verse 14 says, because their blood is precious in his sight. How precious is the blood of the oppressed in Jesus' sight? So precious that Jesus redeemed us with his own precious blood. 1 Peter chapter 1 says this, for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed. No, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Jesus is our Redeemer. He is our Rescuer. He offers hope for the hopeless and help for the helpless. And that's the fourth thing this psalm tells us about Jesus' reign. Rather than favor the strong and the self-sufficient, Jesus' reign will help the weak and the needy. And then finally, Jesus' reign will be blessed and a blessing. Look at verses 15 through 17 with me now. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. Let grain abound throughout the land. On the tops of the hills may it sway. Let its fruit flourish like Lebanon, and let it thrive like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. All nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Now, we saw earlier that this psalm began with a prayer, right? It began with a prayer for the king in verse 1, and then turned to a description of the king's reign. Now, in verse 15, we return to prayer. We turn from description back to a prayer, and in this case, it is a prayer of blessing for the king. And these final verses now tell us how Jesus' reign will both be blessed and a blessing. I can summarize it for you in six statements. Long live the king. May the people honor and bless him. May his blessings abound. May his name endure forever. All nations will be blessed through him. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. And so in closing now, we're going to look at each of these six statements briefly and what they mean. First of all, long live the king. And here we find a blending of the psalm's original application to King Solomon and its ultimate fulfillment in King Jesus. Now, it makes sense to wish long life for King Solomon, right? That makes sense. But you might wonder, in what way does this apply to Jesus? Because Jesus lives forever, whether we wish it for him or not. And so what does this mean for us as we apply it to Christ? Our cry of long live the King for Jesus does not extend Jesus' life. His life does not need extending. Rather, it means that we welcome his rule. Long live the king! We desire his reign to last forever. Secondly, may people honor and bless him. That's what we see in verse 15. May gold from Sheba be given to him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. Once again, here we see the mix of Solomon and Jesus blending together here in the psalm. Solomon needed prayer. Every earthly needer needs prayer. You know, so may people ever pray for him. Earthly leaders need prayer, but Jesus most assuredly does not need prayer. And yet we honor Jesus with prayers of blessing and praise. For example, we see this in Revelation 5:12, where the chorus in heaven sings to Jesus, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Prayers of blessing. May the people honor and bless him. Thirdly, may his blessings abound. Verse 16 says, "Let grain abound throughout the land. On the tops of the hills may it sway. Let its fruit flourish like Lebanon. Let it thrive like the grass of the field." I don't know if you've ever been a farmer or planted crops, but the tops of the hills is not the best place to plant your crops, okay? Where do you plant? You want to plant in the valley. If you're planting on top of a hill, the rain comes down. The rain doesn't stay there. It runs down. It washes away all the good soil. And yet here, the prosperity and his blessings abound so much that even the tops of the hills are covered with grain. Lebanon was known for its tall cedar trees. And here the fruit trees are flourishing like the cedars of Lebanon. May his blessings abound. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." And so Jesus' reign is and will be marked by blessing, abundant blessing for all his people. Fourthly, may his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun in verse 17. Here we have a reference to Jesus' reign outlasting the sun again, right? How do we find this fulfilled in Jesus? Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. His name will endure through all eternity. Fifthly, all nations will be blessed through him. Verse 17 continues, All nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Now, this was one of the verses that the rabbis in biblical times, as they studied the psalm, and they saw this verse, they said, okay, this is about Messiah. This is a messianic psalm. This is pointing forward to the Messiah. Because this verse recalls God's words to Abraham in the Old Testament. When God first called Abraham to himself, God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God said to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples, all nations on earth will be blessed through you. God told Abraham from the beginning that all the peoples on earth would be blessed through him and through his seed. And that seed passed through Abraham to his sons, and then to King David, and then to his royal son, King Solomon. And then that seed continued to be passed on until it was eventually fulfilled in the birth of the royal son, our Lord and King, Jesus, who is born into our world as King of kings and Lord of lords. It has always been God's purpose to bless the nations. And that purpose was fulfilled through Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross as a Savior for all. Once again, we flip to the end of the Bible, book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 9, says about Jesus, with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And then finally, may the whole earth be filled with his glory. We find this in the final verses now of Psalm 72, verses 18 to 20. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. This concludes the prayers of David, son of Jesse. And these verses close out not only this psalm, they close out, remember, that whole second book of Psalms that stretches from Psalm 42 to 72, it's also closing out that whole section. And that's why David's named at the end, not because he wrote particularly this psalm, but he wrote the majority of the psalms in this section. It's a fitting close as the psalmist gives praise to the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. And this prayer for the whole earth to be filled with his glory, that will be fulfilled in Jesus' reign over all the earth. We read these verses from Revelation 5:13 earlier in the service. Let me read it again. It is so beautiful. I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. This psalm, Psalm 72, it is such an amazing psalm on so many levels. On one level, it's just a beautiful prayer for King Solomon, for the King of Israel and his people. But on a greater level, it is a prayer for Jesus the Messiah and for his people, for all who would put their trust in him. If it was only a prayer about earthly kings, there's not a king who's ever come that fulfilled this psalm, has there, right? All of these earthly kings fall so short of the ideal presented here. But it truly points forward to the Messiah. It truly points forward to Jesus, and it is fulfilled in him. Jesus will reign, so rejoice. He will reign in justice. He will reign forever. He will reign over all the earth. His reign will help the weak and the needy. His reign will be blessed and a blessing. And so we can rejoice in Christ, knowing that his reign will be one of wisdom and justice and beauty and flourishing and prosperity forever and ever. He rules in justice, and when you rule in justice over the nations, that brings flourishing and prosperity. So come, Lord Jesus, come reign in our hearts. Come reign over all the earth forever. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for sending your Son to be our Savior, but not only to be our Savior, to be our King. Lord Jesus, we praise you as the great King of heaven and earth this morning. We thank you that you are enthroned on high. We thank you that you will reign over all the earth. Jesus shall reign wherever the sun shall rise or set. You will reign. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.